The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
10 after 6. How the heck you doing this morning? How was your weekend? Did you go out and play a little bit, have a little bit of fun? You were over at the rodeo in Sisters. My gosh, they just had a wild time there over a weekend. A bull actually leaped into the stands over at the Sisters Pro Rodeo. A couple people heard on that. They ended up having the rodeo just move along. You know, maybe the animals are going crazy here, too. Hans Albuquerque writes me this morning, Bill, I mean, what's going on with the Oregon critters? We get the three weird things. We got the bull leaps into the stands at the Sisters Pro Rodeo. Then a dog runs 4 miles to camp to alert a family of their brother's wreck in the mountains around Baker. And a giant 7-foot rare sunfish washes ashore at Gerhardt, Oregon. Imagine if all there were Congress critters from Oregon. We can dream, can't we? Let your imagination run wild. You know, Hans, you always crack me up. You always crack me up about that one. You know, there is something that, and this is just something, I know this is not the most important thought to ever cross my head, but Linda and I have talked often about how animals appear to be getting more intelligent, and we've been theorizing that maybe the fact that more animals are living with people means that they take on more human-like characteristics, and perhaps you have all of your needs taken care of, and you know you're not worried about trying to go out there and keep yourself from being eaten by the beast. And well, I might even look at how many of the videos on YouTube and Facebook and places like that now have dogs and cats as best buddies, or else a dog gets neurotic. And what does the owner then say? The owner then says, well, I went and got my dog. My dog's neurotic. He's kind of lonely there. You know, sometimes I'm at work, so I went and bought my dog a cat. And then the dog and the cat become best buddies, even though the cat be kind of like, this furry, stinky cur. I don't know what I think about this, but I don't know. Maybe there's a little bit to this. The more the animals hang out with us, the more they take on a human characteristic or two. Did you ever think about that? Anyway, we could talk about it. Like I said, not the most important thing in the world, but what is the most important thing in the world? You got the presidential election. Okay, we got a vote. I know Trump was talking to thousands over in Nevada over the weekend. Tens of thousands showed up there. And he had actually proposed to get rid of the TIPS Act, or the TIPS tax that has caused all sorts of trouble for people that work in the restaurant industry and such. And I don't know, do you think that'd be a good idea? You know, that would actually help. That would actually help, I suppose, get some attraction to the restaurant world, except I don't understand. I understand why Congress and why the IRS went after TIPS, because all it is income. In other words, you know, I get a paycheck through Bi-Coastal, and, you know, every single penny gets taxed on that with Uncle Sam and also the state of Oregon. But what if you have a waiter or waitress job? That's just a gift, I guess, so that you shouldn't have to pay taxes on that. Oh, I know. It was one of the huge appeals of being in restaurant work. The first Mrs. Meyer, way, way, way back in the 1980s, before she ended up going to work in the banking system, she worked late nights at a Denny's. And we're talking like 1985, she was bringing home like 80, 90 bucks a night in tips. Gosh, it was great. I mean, and no one was really declaring the tips back at that time. So, yeah, that really went really well for the budget, let me tell you. But it was only a matter of time. I mean, income is income is income, right? And if you have income, federal government wants it. And it's probably going to need more and more of it as time goes on, because they're running out of other people's money. And they're getting to the point where can they continue to just create the money into existence, you know, via the Federal Reserve? I don't know. I don't know. It's just, but that's just way too complex, right? Speaking of a place that's running out of other people's money, Oregon Department of Transportation. Oregon Department of Transportation this morning, they're saying they face a maintenance funding gap. Lawmakers want to know how Oregonians would prefer to pay for it. Yeah. So earlier last week, they ended up starting this statewide tour. They call them what? Listening sessions? That kind of thing? That sort of nonsense. Yes, we're here to listen to you, and they already have a plan. Okay, how much are we going to screw the people in Southwest Oregon here? All right. But anyway, it's the Bipartisan Joint Committee on Transportation. They had the first of, this is according to KGW, by the way. The Joint Committees on Transportation held the first of an eventual 12 statewide hearings at Portland Community College's Cascade campus. And they invited members of the public to testify. But first, they heard from Chris Strickler, director of the Oregon Department of Transportation. Strickler's been telling anyone who will listen to him that the agency doesn't have enough money and needs help. Tolling was supposed to be the savior for ODOT, right? Tolling Interstate 5 especially, right? Governor Tina Kotek effectively put a damper on the idea last year. And even that wouldn't help with the agency's maintenance budget. And so they display slides showing lawmakers and the public where the agency's money's coming from. And the gap that Strickler says at ODOT is $1.7 to $1.77 billion. Even in the socialist state of Oregon, that's real money, folks. Okay, so roughly two-thirds of what we're putting in front of you is a gap. And that is a sign of where we sit in our transportation system and our ability to maintain and keep peace. So I guess at this point, what they're really concerned about is that we're not using as much gasoline. A Toyota Camry today uses 25% less gasoline than it did during the 1990s. That means the state is taking in less revenue in gas tax per vehicle. Oh, no! To make matters worse, the federal gas tax hasn't increased in decades, and even if Oregon's gas tax has gone up, it's not pegged to inflation. So they're just asking us how badly do we want to be screwed, and what methodology would we like to be screwed? And do you think that ODOT might give up trying to make everything a bike lane? You know, that could be one way that they could save a little bit of money and actually put more of the money into the actual roads that move the vast majority of people. You know, we aren't the Netherlands, after all. I don't know. We could talk about that. How would you prefer to be screwed by ODOT? And they're never even going to kiss you there. So would you rather they raise the gas tax? Would you rather they do the bi-mile, which is what they've been talking about, the bi-mile thing? In other words, putting a chip in your car, and then you have to pay either at the pump or pay a monthly thing like your GoPass, or would you prefer tolling? Now, Kotek killed towing, but that was just for, or tolling rather, but that was just for last year. Last year. Believe me, when the Democrats run out of money, they'll be coming for you good and hard, all right? And the Democrats will be helped by Republicans who can't fight too much because they're sent there to help pass Democrat legislation. Did I say that out loud? Oh, I did. Okay, I'm going to stop that. I'll be quiet now. It's 17 minutes after 6. We could talk about that. That'd be a great topic this morning. How would you like to be screwed by ODOT? 770-5633. You're on the Bill Meyer Show.
An intelligent solution is influenced by timing. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It is rebate season for Bryant cooling products. Don't swelter in extreme heat. Now is the time to replace your heat pump or air conditioner. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable all summer long. That means uninterrupted air conditioning throughout the hottest days of summer. Call Advanced Air for intelligent heating and cooling solutions. Online at myadvancedair.com.
Save with factory rebates on high-efficiency air conditioners. Visit myadvancedair.com.
Just how clean is your water? Here's a note from Grants Pass Water Lab. The best and the only way to know your water is clear of bacteria is to have a professional water lab run an E. coli test. E. coli is famous for making people really sick, but it's also an indicator of other bacteria, protozoa, and viruses. So ask Grants Pass Water Lab to test your water for E. coli. Find locally owned, independent Grants Pass Water Lab online at gpwaterlab.com.
The term for people who are both hungry and angry is hangry. Well, Garrison Sleep has coined a new word for that annoying, irritable feeling from spending another sleepless night on a crappy mattress. It's called slangry. And the only known treatment is a new mattress from Garrison Sleep. Our team has the tools and the talent to map and match you with the mattress of your dreams. At Garrison Sleep, we specialize in slanger management and mattresses too. Garrisons.com. We got your back. Literally.
Hi, I'm Jim with the Beauty Mark Salon and Glitter Bar, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
ODOT's crying poor, very upset, and wanting to find out from you. This is what the state of Oregon is doing over the next few days. The listening sessions in the town halls are being, how do you want us to screw you? How badly? And do we have to kiss you afterwards? Don't know. So tell us how you would bail out ODOT. Honestly, though, it's true. Gas tax has not kept up with inflation. You want to raise the gas tax? You want to go to the by mile chipping the car type thing? You want to do tolling, a combination of all of it? What do you think? Or maybe just say hell no. 770-5633. I wouldn't mind talking with you about that. Francine's here. Francine, you want to talk about the hostage rescue over the weekend? Four hostages rescued by the IDF over the weekend, Israel. So what happened there, and what do you think of this morning? Huh?
Well, first of all, one minor point before I get into that is that, you know, the whole thing about the guy that gave his life. I understand that there are situations probably where everybody's going to die, so one person says, okay, I'll sacrifice myself to save the rest of you. That's where a person gives their life.
Right.
But when somebody dies in an action, they didn't give their life. They lost their life, you know? So I'm a little tired of the terminology, but that's
okay.
Beside the point.
All right.
Okay, where I'm going with this is that they killed how many hundreds of people, of Palestinians, to get these four hostages, okay? Because that was the right thing, and everybody was going to be cheering and blah, blah, blah. But all those other lives, they don't mean anything to anybody, you know? And it's just, I'm just sick of it. Now, I don't take sides on this at all. I don't think I don't think Hamas is right. I don't think that Israel is right.
So do you believe that a Palestinian life is also as a Israeli life?
Yeah, they're people.
Mm-hmm.
They're people. They are valuable. Every human being is valuable. Unless you're somebody that's hurting other people, then, you know, you deserve what you get.
Okay. Other people, and I'm playing devil's advocate. There's a lot of devil's sure. advocacy to go around in this topic. You know that.
You're good at that, Bill.
Well, you know, you have to. I try to look at
it.
Again. There is another way of saying that, okay, you're a Palestinian, you're over in Gaza, right? You're in Gaza, and you have tacit acceptance of Hamas as your government, and Hamas ended up kidnapping these people, and so you had it coming. That is what the other side will tend to look at that. Would you agree? Is that kind of how it is?
I understand that that's how a lot of people are justifying it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's right, you know? And I also believe, I know it's not Thursday, but I absolutely believe that those people coming in over their wall or whatever it is they have and killing all those Israelis, they let that happen. This is all deliberate, okay? Everything they're doing is because they want it to happen, and they don't care about any of the human lives. It's all a big stage show.
All right.
And
I appreciate the opinion. This is a... You know, I try to keep my head out of that situation because I see no upside, no matter where
there
you.
There isn't.
Yeah, you know where. I guess though, you know, at this point though, is United States policy going to change over this though?
Probably not.
Okay, I appreciate the call and thank you for that, Francine. 770-5633. It is 23 minutes after 6. Let me go to the next line. And who might this be, and what do you feel like talking about? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. This is Deb.
Deb, what's on your mind?
Hi there. Hey, nothing. I just wanted to say, for me, I guess, if I had to take one of those situations, well, I'll give you my first two. The first one is hell no.
Oh, okay. Is this on to the ODOT wanting to screw us more?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah, which one are we going to get first, you know, or the worst?
And yes.
So my first one would be hell no.
Hell no,
and my
okay.
second one, too, would be go ahead, hit me with the tax, because in 2024, Trump is going to drill, baby, drill, and we all know that.
That's actually a very interesting point. Yeah, high price of gasoline will most likely drop a bit there. I'm going to have to sell my oil stocks, though, because Trump would be bad for my oil stocks. That's seriously. It's like, you know, if you have a communist.
About stocks.
Yeah. Yeah. Communist gets reelected. It's like, go ahead and buy oil because someone's going to need it. But very good point. All right. So you just assume pay a higher gas tax then, right?
Yeah, let's just, I mean, it's there anyway. They're just hiding it, and they're keeping the price down to help lift Biden for you know,
right.
the election. And, you know, the other thing we need to do in the state of Oregon, I think it's about time we investigate the Oregon lottery on like a third-party investigation or something, because all this money is coming for somewhere to pay off all the Dems, and all this other crap. But, you know, you never hear about the Oregon Lottery suffering. But what I do know is I don't see a lot of parks and fishing streams and other stuff built. So I think we should just focus on what's in front of us, mind our own business, you know, as far as that goes.
All right,
and, if we're here in Oregon, maybe we should start thinking about investigating the Oregon Lottery.
Okay, let me ask you, how would you, we'll set that aside at the moment. Back to ODOT. How would you tax the electric vehicle moochers?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I'm not sure, Bill. That's not a question for me. Mm. I mean, okay. Probably equal maybe to the, I don't know, to one of the increases on something else.
Yeah. All right. Just curious. See, that's probably the appeal why the state wants to go to a per mile tax, but then that means they have to monitor your miles. Appreciate the call. Thank you for that, Deb. Let me go to line three. Hello, line three. You're on. It's Monday. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Not So Crazy.
Hello, Not So Crazy. What's up?
Well, I would just call and say people seem to have forgotten the word no. We will not pay anymore. Fire some of your employees. Cut the costs and cut expenses.
This is a state agency you're talking about. Now, you do understand that, right?
Care.
Okay.
How did we? Did Henry Ford need to get his car running down the road by making and creating the ODOT?
No, it's true. They did not. They did. He did not, as a matter of fact. Come to think of it, if Henry Ford had built the nation's highways, of course, I don't know. You know, the interstate highway system actually is pretty darn cool when you look at it. It's pretty decent accomplishment.
Built the interstate so they could run the troops up and down them.
Yeah, it always comes down to the war, doesn't it?
The military.
All right, thank you. Let me go to line four. Hello, KMED and KBXG. Who's this? Hello.
Good morning. Is it me?
It is you. Welcome.
Awesome. Keith out of CJ.
Keith and CJ, what's going on with you, buddy?
I'm pounding ODOT's finest pavement.
Oh, that's good.
I have a 20-year-old plan that I believe I heard on Larson's program years ago. New Zealand and Oregon have basically the same road system by mileage.
Right.
New Zealand has a Department of Transportation of 500 engineers and managers.
I think Oregon has Oregon Department of Transportation is what, about 5,000 employees? Last time I checked.
That's right. That's the number I was going to throw out. They have New Zealand 20 years ago 500 employees that manage and create and engineer and do that. Nobody on the ground is a state employee. If they were to, and I know they won't, were to say, this is what we're going to do, and let's say, like that crazy gal before me talking about, or whoever it was, Drill Baby Drill,
yeah,
you know, for Trump. I mean, and also, don't get me there, it would just be something that would never happen. Reduce the budget by cutting state employees and privatizing everything.
Okay. All right. The one thing I will say about a gas tax that I've always liked about a gas tax here, Keith, and I think you would agree with me now, is that it is absolutely anonymous. Can you hang with that? You get that?
Do not want to be, and I will not be monitored. I agree with you.
Okay.
But when you have modern vehicles with all this stuff that you and Eric talk about, it's hard for me to imagine not being monitored when you think you're not. A gas tax paid with cash, let alone a debit card, which is you can monitor that. Or a credit card, it's such a web of, I just can't imagine this.
Yeah, you don't want to go in that direction. Okay, I get that. That's what I like about it, the anonymity. Of course, that's exactly what they don't want. And ultimately, even though they're going to be asking for it, what we have to watch out for is the mileage with the chip. Because remember, they've been doing that OriGo trial program for the last few years. And they want OriGo. You know they want OriGo because the whole purpose of that, is to be able to charge you more to go into the city when you actually have to go to work. You know how that works, right? It's a trucker.
Oh, mm-hmm. Oh God, yeah. The cities are our That's our destination.
Yeah, and that's what they want to do. Appreciate the call there, and keep it safe there, Keith, on the road, big truck driver, 630. Hi, let me go to next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Jean.
Hi, Jean. Where are you going?
Okay, well, for one thing, dump the bicycle lanes.
Okay, you say dump the bicycle lanes, too. Make that something else. Okay, fine.
And the electric cars should be taxed, because when you buy gas, you're paying taxes. Electric cars should also pay for the use of the roads.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with dump the employees, and you can also dump the peers deal. But if they went back to logging, they'd have more money because there'd be more taxes.
All right. I would suggest, as far as taxing the electric cars, though, given the fact that they have to be taxed, I think all the fast chargers ought to just smack on a big hefty charge per kilowatt hour right now. You know, whatever they're taking should be treated just like a gallon of gasoline, and perhaps the energy equivalent ends up being taxed equivalently to however the cars are being taxed. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for that, Gene. Joe County, it is 631. You're on KMED and 99.3 KBXG. And this is the Bill Myers Show. Rick Dyer is going to join me from Jackson County Commission. And we're going to be talking about this federal and Oregon-administrated housing commission system, how this, they're trying to get some more housing, rather, done, and the feds don't want to cough up the money. The state says that we're not diverse enough. We don't have enough diversity and inclusivity, and that it was, Hispanics that really suffered in the Almeida fire. When to me, it was really elderly who had mobile homes on Bear Creek that were all just flattened. But just me. We'll talk with Rick about that and various other things. That'll be after the 7 o'clock news. Mr. X will join me here in a few minutes on a commentary that he says that we, the public, need to be making right away. And we'll talk about that and more all coming up.
As the Montana roofing crews travel around Southern Oregon, they like to keep things interesting.
You know, we've been doing so many roofs around the valley, there's not many areas where we don't see our past work.
Ooh, like that one.
Yep, the whole metal package. Roof, siding, flashing, gutters.
Tile job.
Oh yeah, that's a beauty. Luxury home on the hill with tile and copper accents.
Shake.
That traditional barn looks great with that fading shake roof. That one was tricky.
I'm up like 3-0.
Oh wait, I didn't know this was a competition. Composite.
Jinx. Maybe we should just Rochambeau for that one.
Rochambeau? I'm driving. A tie goes to the driver.
Okay, well, I'll give you that one. Metal, you're kidding. Destroyed. 4-1.
Oh, this isn't fair. I got to keep my eyes on the road, and I can't look around and see what else is going on.
While the Fontana Roofing Crew has fun on the way, they're all business when they arrive at your job site. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Jeremy House in Washington. A four-day election has shaken the European Union's parliaments to its foundations. Conservative parties rock ruling parties in France and Germany, the EU's main driving forces. The United States says it's setting up an operation in the Polish capital to help neighboring Ukraine counter Russian disinformation. Poland is a member of NATO along the military alliance's Eastern Front. After years of closing or mostly neglecting physical bank branches across the U.S., the nation's largest banks are spending hundreds of millions of dollars on refurbishing old locations or building new ones, and in the process of changing the look, feel, and purposes of the local bank branch. On Wall Street, just before the opening bell, Dow futures are down 87 points. NASDAQ futures are off 57. More details at srnnews.com.
The progressives, big tech, and big government have done everything they can to silence truth and sanity. But there's a secret weapon they can't touch. 1 year ago, a new streaming platform, the Real Life Network, was launched to provide a desperate world with much-needed programming, free from the overreach of government and media. Go to reallifenetwork.com and subscribe for free. And when you do, you'll receive an ebook, Countdown, God's Ultimate Endgame, as their way of saying thank you. When you sign up, you will have unlimited access to 100 programmers who deliver outstanding, truth-filled, hopeful content. Podcasts, interviews, sermons, live events, kids shows, feature-length films, and so much more. All free from the influence of secular agendas. Over 30 million minutes of programming have already been viewed. Subscribe now at reallifenetwork.com and get a free digital download of Countdown, a book from Real Life Network founder Pastor Jack Hibbs. That's reallifenetwork.com for your free ebook and access to amazing content today.
635. Boy, if you got a renewal for your car insurance lately, you might be kind of going, holy mackerel, what did I do? I'm a perfectly good driver. I haven't had any tickets. And they still raised my rate 20, 25%. No, it's not you. It's them. It's just what's been going on in the system right now. The cost of cars, cost of labor to repair. And of course, people going crazy on the roads in some cases have really been putting some pressure on insurance, especially car insurance. And you need a friend to find the best deal, and that would be Steve Yancey at Sky Park Insurance. Steve is an independent at Sky Park. It's an independent insurance agency, works with all sorts of, just tons of different companies. And they work their best to get the best deal for you. They've saved many KBXG and KMED listeners lots of money over the years. I've been working with Steve for years. You just call him at 261-5444, give him a shot, have a quote. And if you see this 20-25% year-over-year increase, I know your pay didn't go up 20-25%. Maybe unless you're a Providence nurse, they're asking for 34. But that's – I digress. I don't want to mix it all up. That's another conversation for another time. So unless you're – you know, a Providence nurse, if they end up getting their 34%, okay, yeah, then they wouldn't look at 20%, 25% increase in the car insurance. Okay, they'd manage. That'd be okay, right? But the rest of us don't have that. Call 261-5444. And it's not just car insurance. Homeowners insurance, business insurance, real estate transaction, RV, boat. It's all in there. 261-5444 or skyparkins.com.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
Do you owe the IRS back taxes you can't afford? Are your finances underwater? First Response Resolution in Eagle Point solves tax problems. Their CPA will represent you with the IRS and defend your rights as a taxpayer. Visit firstresponseirs.com to schedule your free consultation.
Rock This Town by Stray Cats was released in 1981 and peaked at number 9 on the singles chart. Millette Construction can relate to this song because we rock your town one building at a time by firming up and solidifying foundations, leveling floors, and fixing the water problems that cause instability. So don't let those cracks in walls make you scream and shout. Millette will rock your place inside out. Visit MilletteConstruction.com. By the way, Stray Cats may look and sound like they're from the UK, but they're actually from Long Island, New York.
The Bill Myers Show is on 106.3 KMED.
I'm playing a double for Mr. X so that he can just calm down because he's been drinking coffee. He's spitting angry because he's looking at all the intrusions out there. Ed, are you calmed down to the point where we can talk about what we, the people, need to be doing over these next few days? How you doing?
You know, Bill, yeah, every time that I get really angry, I calm down by reading the law.
Is that what you do? Boy, I'll tell you, you must be fun at parties. You know, when I calm down, I read the law. You know, like, I just kidding
well,
you.
I look at it and, you go back to the realistic thing is we're supposed to be a country that is governed by the rule of law, not the rule of consensus-based processes mm-hmm. that intend to erode the law.
And also not supposed to be the rule of agencies either, which seems to be another big aspect of this. So the rule of the agencies over the people rather than the people that actually pay for the agencies.
Well, you know, you've done so many interviews with people, and remember the one, is administrative law unlawful?
Oh, yeah, Dr. Philip Hamburger. Great guy.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And but you start looking at the premises for what they're doing, and this is an example, a prime example of why he wrote that book. Because you look at the pathways to administrative intrusion, but yet, I researched a document, and I'll forward the link to you so that you can post it if you wish.
Okay.
But it's the Department of Justice of the state of Oregon. Okay? Now, what? The Attorney General of the state of Oregon.
Okay, so the Attorney General of Oregon. Now, I didn't really explain exactly totally what we were going to be talking about, but this is about the intrusions on the Rogue River regarding jet boats, where they would go, you know, in the upper rogue, wherever, and this consensus process, Oregon kitchen table clowns that have put themselves in the situation.
And, you know, my comments right now, you know, I have to be honest with you. If we have a legitimate public input meeting and it comes out that the public, the entire public in a legitimate public input meeting wants to remove the jet boats, then I say, okay. That's reality. But if it's not a legitimate public input meeting and it sets forth with a thing of, achieving a predetermined outcome based upon the wants of a few. And the folks that have called you and said, oh, you're on the wrong page here, Bill. Those things need to go. We have property up there. We have this. The reality is you may have property there, but you're going to lose your rights, too, in the long run if you allow this process to happen.
Now, see, that's a very interesting statement. You know, people who live on the river, they would like the quiet and no jet boats. Okay, that's kind of the general consensus. Sorry to use that term, but that seems to be a lot of what's going there. Challenge this is that they don't own the river. Everybody owns the river.
Right.
It's a public trust.
That's right. And, Bill, at that point, what I'd like to do is read something right out of this attorney general opinion.
Now, okay. This is the attorney general back in 2005, if I recall. You were telling me that off air before?
Yeah, 2005.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Take it away.
This is a 33-page document.
I don't have time for you to read the 33-page document. Can you summarize it then?
I'm going to just basically concentrate on one actual statement, Bill. Okay?
Okay.
So this is a direct quote. In sum, we believe the public trust doctrine prevents the state from alienating or otherwise encumbering the public's right to use state-owned waterways as to materially affect or impede those public rights. See also 25 Op. Attorney General 1951, summarizing Oregon case law describing the circumstances under which a state may alienate or encumber state-owned waterways. Now, I'm going to stop there because there's really no need to go any further, because you have to understand waterways were considered means of travel, highways.
Yes.
It's supposed to be relative to commerce. It's supposed to be relative to all that stuff. But here's the attorney general saying there's limitations. Well, now, these
people... In other words, I just want to be clear, though, that there are limitations on what state policy can do about the river.
That's right.
Correct? All right.
That's right. And that's the thing that we got to focus in on. Because the public trust doctrine basically comes down to what we can trust in as the citizens, as the public here. Why would Shady Cove be behind the elimination of these jet boats? They take a 3-hour trip. There's 100 people, basically, and if those are tourism dollars, those are the people that are going to get off that boat, and as long as they're staying here in the valley, they're spending money, they're enjoying themselves, they see the beauty of what we have, and now they're going to get in a vehicle and drive up to Shady Cove. Well, we know the state looks at that long term. Oh, that's vehicle miles traveled. We want to eliminate this. But they're eliminating your means to have an actual economy.
Now, isn't there people have written me about that. I'm trying to play devil's advocate, just like I was with Francine, you know, a few minutes ago. You know, it's one of those things where I have to try to look at the other side of it. Now, the commercial jet boats that we're talking about, like the Hellgates and like the other one, which goes a little bit on the mid-rogue, you know, in the mid-rogue right now, has that that commercial jet boat company. They're not really operating in that upper area by Shady Cove, but there are jet boats as far as just regular power boats. People just have a jet boat and they can, you know.
That's exactly right, Bill. And that's, you know, what I'm trying to say. They stop, I think, around Rattlesnake because of the rapids and things.
Right.
No, you know, I had a smaller jet boat years ago and it was part of my thing. I've had more fun experiences on that river than I can imagine. The reality is that's what they're taking away, because if they eliminate the jet boat traffic, it's going to pertain to fishing boats, too. This is like, you know, all of this stuff comes down to it. They will eventually get to it all. And why? That's the question. Why?
Well, we know about, and we've talked about the agenda for a long time, in which ultimately people aren't going to be living on the river. People aren't going to be going on the river. People aren't going to be living down here is ultimately where they want to go.
You took it exactly where it has to go. It's called rewilding. And that's what the agenda wants to do. And along with rewilding is the ultimate administrative control over any of your actions. And it relates to everything as it expands. It's about driving cars. It's about your travel anywhere. Oh, let's only have a tourism industry based upon the Pacific Crest Trail and backpacking. Well, that'll bring a lot of money into the valley.
Yeah.
You know, come on.
Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from here. Well, I guess what we're going to have here, this next coming a week from today, 5:30 till 7:30, I know I'm going to be on vacation. I'm going to be coming back from my very well-earned vacation, and I'm going to be at that public meeting at the Medford Public Library, 5:30 till 7:30, because this is the final Oregon Kitchen Table meeting on this particular issue. And we really need to show out. I need to call out. I'm hoping to testify and call out the fraudulent aspect of this. But are there any other angles of attack of the Oregon Kitchen Table's involvement in this, which I don't think it should be in the first place?
It's that you've just stated the actual angle that it should be attacked on, because it is a fraudulent attempt. It's a fraudulent attempt at achieving their consensus. And that's the reality, and it's about putting it into the administrative, into the rulemaking thing, into a rulemaking thing where ultimately they don't have the right to be. And
so for all of the residents on the Rogue River that want to show up there and say, hey, we don't want these boats anymore, just understand that the administrative rules will be coming after you next. Just understand.
That's
okay.
Exactly right.
All right.
You know, wait till they get their ultimate goal of closing it down and making it a wild and scenic river, and they want to go after Lost Creek like they've stated in the past. They never hid that. That was part of the ultimate goal. Let's rewild everything. You know, these people have to understand their concepts are very flawed of what actually is conducive to us living here. But that's part of the goal. Let's reduce the ability. And what we have to do is, if we love this place, if we love living here, then we have to do things to correct it. But we have to do it on a level that we can walk away with a clear conscience that we did the right thing, not contrary to the rule of law that helps us protect what this country has stood for and established for the long term, not a communist intrusion, basically, of rule by administration. Well, we're going to get so-and-so to make this decision. Well, no, that's not the way it works.
All right. Let me just jump forward then and think about this meeting. If we have a proper public meeting here, which I doubt we will, but let me put it this way. There are conflicts of use on the river, though. You have to admit that there are times that there are conflicts on some people think that some use is appropriate in different areas. So what should be handling that, or what would be the proper public process and public policy input on something like that? How would you do it? What would be the proper way to do it, rather than a bunch of liberals from Portland State University with pink hair and pierced noses and tongues, you know, coming down here to talk about consensus?
Well, that's the exactness of it, Bill, because the rule of law would say that they're supposed to have a well-publicized meeting. And, you know, the statutory law is that, you know, literally the state of Oregon, the government of Oregon, requires an informed public aware of the deliberations and decisions and the information upon which those decisions are made. Now, when you look at that, if they're hiding and not discussing the actual law that they're violating, but they're going by their consensus achievement to adjust the administrative rules, I'm sorry, that doesn't work for me. So the answer to your question is, yeah, we have to have a legitimate public input meeting. We have to push. We may have to push for our commissioners to have, in lieu, if the Marine Board is not going to do it in the correct way, then let's do it and have an actual public input meeting like we did with the smoke and fire.
Okay, the Marine Board. So the Marine Board wanted this consensus process? I mean, why do they try to do this rather than having an actual true public hearing, not a consensus meeting?
Because the greenies got together and basically said, this is a very contentious issue, and this is this, and, you know, we have to look at the health of the river, and we have to, if they've ever been on that river.
Hold on. The river is not a stakeholder, okay? Let's first and foremost, okay?
That's exactly right. But also, you got to consider the conditions of the river. You got to consider every aspect of it. And if anybody has ever been out I would suggest a jet boat, because in a drift boat, it's kind of tough. But if you get out on that river in flood stage, Bill, the forces at work are amazing. And there's no way a jet boat can do any more damage than it ever does when it's at a higher water type thing. And that's the true reality. But ice, like I said in the beginning, if the public comes up and the entire public of our body politic of Jackson County has a legitimate meeting, and everybody around here that I live with, they all decide in a public format that they don't want those boats, okay, I'll agree with that. I will not agree with it with a group that comes out of the National Policy Consensus Center, which it is. I can show you that instantly. The kitchen table is part of a thing that's designed to bring in and manipulate these things. And that's the part of it. And the folks up there that are saying, well, we got to do something, you know, we're property owners here, we don't like it. Don't use this. Don't use the kitchen table aspect of it, because you're going to hurt yourselves in the long run.
Okay, so the people who have conflicts on the Rogue River, instead of pushing for the Oregon kitchen table, should be pressing the county commission then for public hearings, real public hearings, like we did for smoke and fire a few years ago.
That's exactly the thing, Bill.
Got it.
What is the good for the whole? What is the actual good for the whole instead of an interest group that has a minor role to come in here and tell everybody how they have to react?
Okay, well, I'm going to go to the meeting on Monday, and I'm hoping all sorts of other KBXG and KMED listeners go there too. Just fill it up there. And I want to call out the fraud, and I also want to actually call for an actual real public input meeting conducted by Jackson County, where everybody's allowed to go and testify, where it's not just a matter of predetermined outcome and invited stakeholders, you know, coming to affect this process. Would that be a good thing to do, you think?
Exactly, Bill. And it's kind of like the concept of the old song, Hit the Road, Jack.
Yeah.
You know, it's you got to pack your bags and go hit the road, Jack. And that's what we got to tell Oregon Kitchen Table. Take your consensus-based process approach and get the heck out of Dodge.
All right. Now, this does not mean that we might not want to have some rules for jet boats on the Upper Rogue. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. But the idea is that you do it through true public input with a true public meeting. You have the government, your local government, involved in this rather than a state agency that wants to do the consensus process here. Okay. I think I understand.
It comes down to self-determination, Bill, within the county, okay? And that's the reality that we've got to look at. And the entire scope, our economy, you think back to this, you know, I bring back the smoke and fire issue. One of the most long-term outdoor stores here supported burning, and then they had to close their doors.
Yeah, they didn't have any business. I remember that was the Ashland Outdoor School, the Ashland Outdoor Store ended up backing that whole consensus process, and the smoke and fire destroyed them ultimately. What happened?
And so you look at it in a common sense, in a realistic way of looking at this. These are the intrusions where people get back and they're so confused as to why our country is going the way it is. Well, these forces are at work to try to administratively control us in ways that are ultimately unconstitutional. But we have to give our consent by our silence for them to operate. And we have to give up that aspect of it. Everybody out there that you know, didn't vote in the last election, that is stigmatized by the idea that they're sitting there saying, oh, it doesn't matter. My vote doesn't count. They don't do this. No, you get off of your rear end and go vote. You get out there and you vote your conscience. Do what you got to do, but participate, because the consensus process relies upon you not participating.
That's the whole purpose. They don't want the real Southern Oregon taking part in it to that extent. All right. Okay, so got to be at the meeting, got to call it out, got to really got to work this one on Monday. It's going to be a week from today, 5:30 till 7:30, Jackson County Library, Medford branch there, okay? Now, there's something else you were mentioning that we're running out of time to comment on the OWEB rules. What was that all about again? Help me out.
We got to still work on that OWEB thing with the that's the groundwater issue with irrigation, you know, any type of growing with your well water type things. And the aspect that they're trying to do eliminates a lot of people from being able to use their well to do that stuff. And I understand the need to look at this, but what it came from, you know, the left always creates the problem and then they create the solution. And the solution is always a restriction of your own personal rights. But they created the problem when they legalized marijuana. Okay, you created a new industry. Well, you voted it through, you did it. Now we got to live with the ramifications. But the reality is, there was a lot of illegal activities where people were tapping the water supply.
Well, yeah, and illegally tapping water supplies doesn't mean that you should be screwing the people who weren't causing any trouble to start with.
Well, I read a story of a lady. She had an acre of land. And she grew, her whole income was based upon what she could grow, because she fed herself, and then the food that was left over, she would sell at a local farmer's market. And they sent her a cease and desist letter, okay? Now,
but they hardly touched the cartel grows, did they, right?
That's exactly right. What is going on?
Yeah.
And we're sitting here complacent and saying, oh, yeah, we got to let them go ahead and make these rules. No. That's the reality. Is what do you, you know, what is your, you know, you have a right to life. You have a right to grow your own food. I look at it very simply in that way. Now,
well, what the state did, though, is that the moment you start selling any of it commercially, then all of a sudden you've broken the law or broken their rule. I think it's really breaking their rule more than it is breaking a law.
There you go. And that's the thing. But, those rules, when someone has an acre of land, they have a right to use that water. And, you know, to be honest, how much of it is really going to waste at that point? But the other reality is, what are we going to do with, well, that's it, law enforcement, true law enforcement. And we have to figure out a pathway through that. But it's not by restricting every aspect of people being able to grow food.
Yeah, I'm going to reach out to Kevin at Clouser Drilling, because he's dug deeply into that, too. And I think he's done some comments, and I'd like to get his take on it, because he was really upset that it was such a one size fits all sort of situation, that there was seems to be no understanding of the different needs, you know, equating the one woman, as you had mentioned, with 1 acre. You know, growing a few crops for herself and selling some at the farmer's market as if it was Cargill, you know, as if it was Cargill,
yeah,
you know, some massive, corporate entity, you know, raping the land and draining the aquifer in her neighborhood. You know, it really is ridiculous, you know, to do that,
well,
to equate
them, it. For them, you got to remember, Bill, all of this thing about water conservation and thing that led to the inability to fight any part of the fire that we had down in Talent and Phoenix and south of or north of Ashland there. The reality is, a group of stakeholders got together and created the TAP project. They've had their input, and they put a water line in that only pumped 4,000 gallons a minute.
And was only capable of, doing 2 fire hydrants at one time, or was it 4?
Actually,
I forget.
It was 4 fire hydrants. It was, because mm-hmm. a fire hydrant takes 1,000 gallons a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but then the challenge is that everybody, there was almost no way to fight that, though. I don't think there's really any. I don't want to muddy the waters, no pun intended here, you know, at the moment about that.
No. I'm using that as an example
of the consensus process and the BS that gets brought in from it. Okay.
That's right.
All right.
because you have a lot of inexperienced people making decisions for the whole that don't belong there.
And we need to kick the people out who don't know and bring in the people that do know, and that's we the people when it comes to our rights and property. All right? All right, Mr. X, we'll be in touch here. And now, once again, remember, Mr. X studies the law, and he relaxes when he reads the law. So you're wound up. So you better go relax and read some more law. I'll talk to you a little later next time, all right? Thank you.
Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
Mr. X, community organizer, researcher, friend of the show. We talk to him quite often, all right? By the way, MrXFiles.com is his website if you wanted to find out more. It's a shade before 7 o'clock, and this is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass at 99.3 FM. Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided. Provided by Dish.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
The Medford Rogues Homestand continues this week at Harry and David Field. The Rogues host the Cascade Collegiate League All-Stars Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Then enter Pacific Empire League play versus the Haroldsburg Packers for another three-game set Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Get your tickets at MedfordRogues.com or call the box office and pick up. Box office opens at 5:45. Take the family out to the old ballpark as the action heats up this week at Harry and David Field. Visit MedfordRogues.com for schedules, tickets, and nightly promotions and events.
Getting ready for a summer road trip? Click on the travel report on KMED.com for the latest road construction, road cams, and gas prices in our region. Be prepared with the travel report on KMED.com. Brought to you by Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Saving big on just the things I need.
Oregon E-Deals has saved the Rogue Valley big bucks over the years on local fun. Get a family four-pack of wildlife safari tickets, normally $96, now half off. Children's Museum of Southern Oregon, one adult and one child admission, normally $20, only $10. Save big on these deals and more at OregonEDeals.com.
I'm hooked on Oregon E-Deals.com. I'm saving big.
And by the way, so easy to use, too. Just go to OregonEDeals.com. Just great stuff. I've purchased many, many things there over the years. Good pricing. Save a lot of money. Great local businesses, okay? Now then, we're going to, Jackson County Commissioner Colleen Roberts just text messaged me. What did she say? Oh, she says, Bill, July 4th is the deadline for the resource management plan for the monument, for the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument management plan. Unless you're happy with only K.S. Wild commenting, as I'm sure they will, comment period for the RMP for the Cascade Siskiyou National Monument. Once again, July 4th is the wrap-up day for that. And I have information on that already on KMED.com from a couple of weeks ago when I talked to the commissioner about it. And I will update that and bring it forward and put a new one in today's log post for the guest information and more. And speaking of the guest information and more, Jackson County Commissioner Dave Dodderer joins me. And he's the point person on this state housing grant, the 2020 wildfire grant funds. A lot of intrusions going on there. I think the accusation was that Jackson County was not diverse and equitable and inclusive enough or whatever it was. And anyway, we'll get to the bottom of this. It's a really interesting story. That'll be coming up after Town Hall in Hannity.
Southern Oregon's place to talk. KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point, Medford, a bi-coastal media station.